Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
As I said earlier, the Bible talks a bit about baptism, and within the Old Testament there are some stories that took place that point us towards what we now know as baptism. Baptism is something that followers of Jesus have done for a couple of thousand years now for very good reason, and maybe you got a little bit of an insight into that this morning. But the question I got for us this morning is, where are our decisions taking us? Where are our decisions, our choices taking us? See, I believe that choice, not chance, determines your destiny. I believe it's the choices that we've made have led us to where we are today. You made a great choice on coming here today. You know, whether you were coerced, whether you were forced, whether you were threatened, I don't care, but you're here. And that's a beautiful thing, and we're glad you are. And that's not by accident, because there's a God that loves you, and he's got a plan for your life, and he wants to connect with you, and he's trying to get your attention, even through kind of some crazy people doing something that's really weird, getting baptized. Why bother? And you're here today, and I want to tell you that God's got your name, and he loves you, and he's relentless. He's relentless, and he's more involved in your life than what you realize. I love that about my Jesus. But where are your decisions taking you? You see, our decisions that we make, arguably some would say we make up to, believe it or not, 35,000 decisions a day. Child, maybe 3,000 to 5,000. Most male teenage boys, probably about 500. And we all know where their minds are. But anyway, but 35,000 a day. I mean, that just makes my head hurt thinking about how many decisions that we make. But where are our decisions taking us? Where are they leading us to? I think, you know, they could be leading us towards an education. They could be leading us towards a career. They could be leading us towards the cars, the house, the cash. Could be leading us towards a relationship. It could have led to a hangover this morning. Could have led to all sorts of things. Regret this morning could lead us to any of those things. But also, we know that our decisions can just as easily lead us to hope, to purpose, to destiny, to joy that I've been talking about here this morning. I don't care what you think. I'm actually really happy today. I'm so joyful, and it's not just because of the external circumstances. I just know that, like, on this day, just the reminder of that we have this God that was able to raise his son from the dead. See, Jesus made choices that led him to the cross, and he did that willingly. No one forced him. No one had the power over Jesus to do that. We heard that on Good Friday. Michael did a great job of that. But Jesus willingly chose the cross, and he could have saved himself, or he could save us. Guess who he chose? He chose you. And he hung on that cross, taking all of our sin, all of our sickness upon himself. He hung there, and he had the choice of being able to call down the hosts of heaven to get him out of there, but he endured it to the point that he died, paying the price in full for all of our sin and shortcomings. And the Father had to turn his back, and Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Heartbreaking kind of example of the Father not, and a perfect God cannot tolerate sin. So he had to turn. I don't know if you've ever been rejected. I'm not sure if you've ever been betrayed. I'm not sure if you've ever been let down. If you haven't, it's probably going to happen. But the reality is, Jesus knows how you feel. Ever been in pain? Jesus knows how you feel. And Jesus chose all of that for you and for I. A phenomenal thought. And the Father had a choice on that third day. Do I leave him dead or do I raise him? And he's true to his word. He promised that he would. So he did. And so the Father has actually raised his son physically back to life. We know that, you know, over 500 witnesses saw him over the ensuing days, and he showed himself in different ways, a full physical resurrection in that sense, that he ate and he walked and he talked and he was touched and was with people. So we know it was a literal physical resurrection, and Christ made all these decisions for you and for I. But there's another, if I jump back to the Old Testament, because I did start with that, so I just went off on a tangent, but coming back to what I'm supposed to be saying, in the Old Testament, there is a great example that ties in so beautifully with this weekend, and that's the story of Moses, who the children of Israel, backtrack a little bit, Abraham got the call from God and he had a son, Isaac, and then Jacob had a son, one of his sons, Joseph, who ended up going to Egypt and establishing the children of Israel in Egypt under Pharaoh, and the children of Israel prospered in that environment because of Joseph's obedience to God in that. And so the children flourished, but then it says one of the pharaohs forgot about Joseph and they started to persecute because they were prospering so much, they put him in slavery. So for 400 years, turn the person next to you and say, 400 years. I know some of us in the room feel like we're 400 years old today, but, you know, That means that like everyone that was alive in Moses' time had not experienced freedom. Nobody had experienced freedom. It was just a figment of their imagination. They could not see a way out of the oppression of the Egyptians over their life. But yet God raised up a man named Moses and speaks to him in the back blocks of nowhere, up and come back to West, and says, "You're my man. I want you to go back and to take the children out of slavery." Moses' response, obviously appropriate, just going, "You talk me? Really? The guy that grew up in the palace and for 40 years grew up there and that I've murdered someone. Don't you know I'm a murderer? And I had to run for my life." And aren't you glad that God uses all kind of people? Can I just say that there is no one in this room beyond God's redemptive grace? I don't care what you've done, that God's grace is sufficient for you. And there's no good works that we can do that can actually earn that salvation either. So it doesn't matter how good you are either. That's the flip side of that coin. But Moses here, like, and he says, "Okay, God, well, if I go and do it, who's sending me?" And God just says, "I am." What kind of an answer is that? I am. So imagine walking up and going, "Oh, who sent you here today?" "I am." What are they going to think of you? So I am, but in the Hebrew, that actually means the complete, the perfect one. The omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent one. It's I am. In me is no lack or insufficiency. I am sent me. So not only does he have the promise of God, but he actually has the people around him. He has Aaron, he has Miriam with him. He has people that he goes back into that situation with that he can tackle it. And he goes back in there and Moses has choices along the way. And to fast track this story so we can all get home and eat our Easter eggs and hot cross buns. Like, Moses has choices along the way to continue to walk in obedience. Can I just say that when you walk in obedience, guys, you guys who got baptized today, that's an obedience step that God desires for our lives. And blessing comes with that. I'm excited to see the blessing that God's going to bring into your life because of your courageous act of obedience today. So Moses is like having this kind of thing with God, and God pours out these plagues, not just random, they're just incredible, phenomenal plagues. And again, just reminding us just how powerful God is. God can pull together the forces of nature. He can pull together the insects, the bugs, the gnats, the frogs, the gnats with a G. All these. Why did I say that? Jesus, help me. Okay. I'm going to preach to this side because I'm not coming back over there. In case you didn't know, my wife is on the front row. Her name is Nat. So, in case you didn't know. But Moses has a decision on whether he continues on in this. Can I encourage you? Don't give up. When God's given you a word, don't give up. Hang in there until ultimately we see 10 plagues all up. And the last one, which we kind of like, Jesus Christ was the ultimate fulfillment of the lamb that was shed, so that the blood that was shed from that lamb, unblemished lamb that the household would have, they put that over the lintels of the doorway. And the last plague, the angel of death, would pass over that home, so therefore the firstborn would not die in that home, and that's why we have the Passover. And Jesus Christ was the unblemished, the perfect, sinless lamb that died for humanity. You see, no one could pay the price. I was thinking about this the other day, and it really hurt my head, but I was trying to think about how can you actually take on all the sin of mankind? We're humans, so we like to measure things, right? So we can understand them. Like, we like to put measurements on stuff. So if I'm trying to measure up all the sins of the billions of people that have been on the planet, that's a lot of sin. Like, maybe you don't sin, but everyone else in the world sins a lot, right? So there's a lot of sins, but only God could take on that amount of sin. That's why Jesus was God. That was one of the reasons why God had to send himself to die, because there would never ever be a suitable sacrifice for humanity. It had to be Jesus. And so he's called the Lamb of God. We just sung about it, and that's one of the names that he was given. So he dies for the world, the sins of the world. He takes them upon himself, and he pays them for. So Moses has this, and then they get to kind of get out of Egypt. Jumping back to Moses, he takes, whether arguably it could be 1 million to 3 million people. That's a big crowd. That's a lot of people to look after. So he's going out and they're all high-fiving, just going, "We're free. I can't believe it." And I wish I could stop the story there, because we could all live happily ever after and you'd have nice warm fuzzies in your tummy to go home on Easter Sunday with, right? But that's not life, is it? When we walk out these doors, life hits. Some of you have got to go back to difficult situations, and maybe this morning this message will encourage you to remind you of just what an incredible God we do have. So Moses is actually taking the people out, and they get to the Red Sea, and you'd think, right. And guess what? The past starts chasing them down. The past starts chasing them down. But Moses has been given a promise. He's been given a promise that on the other side of that, is not just your freedom, but it's the promised land. Land flowing with milk and honey. Sounds great, doesn't it? You ever try to imagine that? A land with milk and honey just flowing everywhere? Do you think like that? No. Okay, just me. But there's this promise of abundance and this beautiful life and land that God's got for his people. And Moses is standing on, isn't it amazing that kind of like that, just when you think on the edge of a breakthrough, all hell breaks loose. Even this week, trying to get a flipping baptism service happening has just like just been not the easiest thing. Like there's a couple of us here till, not boasting, but just like we were here till 1:30 in the morning because there was a leak in our spa. And it's new. Really? We're just going, can't have water going everywhere and there's electrical stuff around. It was just like make for a very interesting baptism service the next morning. It's just like almost everything, just to get this thing to actually happen this morning. And that's why I know you're not here by mistake this morning. And God is real. He's alive. And he wants to do something in your life if you let him. And so, like, it's amazing that when we're right on the edge of our breakthrough, all hell breaks loose. So if all hell's breaking loose, hold on to your promise. God will come through. Because as the Egyptians have changed their mind and they're coming to tear them apart, not to take them back to slavery, but to obliterate them, God does an incredible miracle once again. What's on the other side of your decisions? What are you pursuing? See, the Bible says that we're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. You see, on the other end of your decision to follow Jesus Christ is the Bible tells us, is life and life to the full. On the other side of your decision to follow Jesus Christ is blessings, is his commitment never to leave, never to forsake you, to give you the strength, the courage, the wisdom that you need. On the other side of your decision to follow Jesus Christ is the assurance of eternal life. Where are your decisions taking you? Where are your decisions leading you? I'm not against education. I'm not against career. I'm not against the cars, the house, the cash. I'm not against any of those things. But we're called to have Jesus Christ as number one. And then what he does is actually helps us order our priorities on what we do with that stuff. So where are your decisions taking you? Not just for this life, because John 10:10 tells me that Jesus promises life and life abundant here on earth, but he also promises us the assurance of eternal life. So where are your decisions taking you for eternity? Eternity is a long time to get wrong, right? I think so. And I would simply suggest to you today that one of the things that we can hold on to, because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what I am doing here and what I spend my life for and what I live my life for and my family and this church lives for is futile, pathetic, and a waste of time if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But the reason why great things are happening and great things do happen and will continue to happen in increasing measure is because he's not dead and he is alive, and we have this hope forevermore that because Jesus passed through death, he conquered it, and he's alive. He's made the way for anyone who believes in him. He's got the power to take us from death into eternal life. So it's not life ending in death, but it's death is nothing to be feared, but death leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there was no other way. So where are your decisions taking you in life, and where are they taking you for eternity? Let's pray. Father, this morning, I just thank you for this Resurrection Sunday that we have. I thank you, Father, that your desire is that none should perish. You're not angry with anyone in this room. Father, right now, if there's anyone here that feels like you're just that guy with the big white beard with bolts of lightning and just waiting to fry us, that's just wrong. You are love. Jesus, you did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that through you, through your actions of what you did, that the world may be saved. And I just pray here this morning, Father, that in this atmosphere, in this space, with your presence, resurrection power being made tangible in this place, that we cannot deny the reality of who you are. So as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Holy Spirit, I just ask right now for people in this room that haven't opened up their heart to your grace, to your forgiveness, that this morning they would make the greatest decision they could ever make with their life, which determines not only just here on earth, but all eternity. They would open the door of their heart to start a relationship with you. Holy Spirit, just knock on hearts right now, I pray. We release you to do that.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.